The topic I decided to speak about is a seasonal topic. It's definitely a timely topic. This year's matzav, the current situation, the pandemic, affects the obligation to fast. As we know, fasts come in different levels of importance. Obviously, you have the one fast day that is the Oraisa, the only fast that's mentioned in the Torah is Yom Kippur. The next most serious fast day would, of course, be Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, like Yom Kippur, is the only fast day that starts the night before. That is followed by the other three fasts that are Divrei Kabbalah, the other three fasts that are mentioned in Zechariah Hanavi, all related to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, one being Tzom Gedalia. Then afterwards you have Asar B'Tavis and then Shiras B'Tamiz. And finally, the least serious of all the Tanesim is the Tainus Aster. Tainus Aster, of all the set Tanesim, that's later than the other ones. It's not a sad Tainus, it's actually a happy Tainus. And therefore we are most maker when it comes to that Tainus. Even though Yom Kippur is the most serious of Tanesim, still, there are cases where we would let a person to eat on Yom Kippur. We know that with the exception of the three cardinal sins, there's nothing that stands in the way of pikuach nefesh. If it's a matter of life or death, it goes without saying, we will let you drive on Shabbos. We would let you do almost anything in order to save a life. So of course, in the event that a person's life would be put in danger by fasting, it goes without saying that we would allow it. However, that's not always an easy call. People really, it's hard to say if this person wouldn't eat, what would be their outcome? Would they have a headache? They would end up in bed. But eventually, when they got to the end of the fast and they would eat something, everything would be all better. Or no, is there really a concern that in the event that this person doesn't eat, that there would be a long-term damage or, God forbid, death? This is discussed in the Mishnah in Yuma, where you would expect it to be discussed. The Mishnah says, Uvra Shehericha. What if you have a pregnant woman who goes by and she smells some food that she wants to eat? What type of food are we talking about? Non-kosher food, perhaps? Perhaps kudshim? Perhaps we're talking about different types of food that she's not allowed to eat? So in these cases, maybe it's chametz on Pesach. So in the event that we believe that's going to somehow endanger the mother and or endanger the child, it says, you give her a little bit. The Gemara explains how you try to get her to get past this without violating a serious aveira. Now it relates to us. Chola, if somebody is sick, machilin oso al api bikim.
Return, O Israel, to the Lord.
So we can just thank you. So the Gemara says if somebody is sick, you have to ask experts. What are bikim? Look at Rashi number 2. Al pi bikim im yomu shnei rofim shumasukim im eino ochel. If they get two doctors who say that this is a matter of life or death, then the person can eat. What if I don't have two doctors lying around? So going back to the Mishnah says, we take the person's own personal opinion into this, and we say whatever they say goes. If a person says, I know myself, and this is very serious, I have to eat, you trust the person and you allow them to eat. So basically the story is if there are experts, we follow the experts. In fact, the Gemara explains later on, and we paskin this way in the Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see, even if the experts say that the person can get by without eating, still we go and we follow the person. If the person says, listen, I know what they're saying, but I know myself. So if, God forbid, somebody has diabetes or the like, and, you know, what they don't eat could lead them into... we take their word for it. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this way pretty straight. The Shulchan Aruch says, if there's a sick person who needs to eat, Even if it's a non-Jewish doctor and the doctor says, listen, if this guy doesn't start eating, the situation could get worse and it could potentially lead to danger. And also, if we trust the doctor, even though the doctor's not Jewish, and that's fine. And of course, if there's a potential of death here, it goes without saying we're going to feed the person. He says, no, no, the doctor, he always overreacts. Doctor, I know this doctor, he's always getting, doesn't matter. We tell him, the doctor says you have to eat, you have to eat. Whoever it's the reverse, the doctor says you don't need, and the patient says, yes, I do. Even if 100 doctors say that this guy's out of his mind, we listen to them. So therefore,
where does the Gemara use the expression "chole shachazo bulmos"? Is it
same Gemara?
What, right? The same Gemara?
Same Gemara. That's correct. There's a few places it uses it, but the idea of a bulmos is a person is reaching the point of starvation, and then there's real danger if you don't start feeding them ASAP. But it's all the same Gemara. Yes, you're absolutely right. So again, according to the Shulchan Aruch seems to be taking, I don't want to say that we're makel, that we're lenient when it comes to Yom Kippur. A better way to say it is that we're very machmir, we're very stringent when it comes to a matter of a person's health. So if either the doctor says the person really needs to eat, or the person says, I really need to eat, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is in either of those cases, we feed the person. The Bir Halacha, however, goes one step beyond. What if a person is perfectly healthy? Baruch Hashem. And right now, if they don't eat, there's no danger whatsoever. However, the situation is such that if the person would become sick and they were in a weakened state, it might be dangerous. What if the story is that there's some disease or some epidemic that's going around? And right now, I don't have the epidemic. I'm healthy. And right now, I'm fine fasting. However, if it ended up that I caught the epidemic and my body was in a weakened state, that would be dangerous. So can I eat on Yom Kippur with the consideration that if I would become sick, that would be sakana for me if I hadn't eaten? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha raises this. Right? He says, if there's a magefa, and he says specifically which one he's referring to. Haynu masha kolim cholera. Right, the cholera, which we refer to as cholera, which unfortunately was very common in those days. In those days, the cholera was a very, very dangerous type of disease that would kill millions, and the epidemics could run for over a decade. Right, so now here we talk about, God willing, we'll be done with this 6 months, a year, 2 years, etc. Cholera was crazy. It would go for over a decade, 10, 15 years, and then it would come back again. So the question is, what if we're living in times where, God forbid, this cholera, Ratzalama Beir, that there are people who are suffering from it and we're trying to avoid other people from catching it? He said, go look at Tufkaf Ayin Vav. Tufkaf Ayin Vav is Hilchas Tishabav. There he's going to discuss that. And regarding Yom Kippur, look at the Chasim Sofer. So he said there's a fair amount of discussion about this. Look at the Stei Chemet, etc. So that's the question that I'd like to talk about, and that is the question which might be relevant to us. Thank God somebody tests negative, they're perfectly healthy, everything is good. No problem. I'm fasting fine. However, if there would be a bad mix, meaning that everybody knows, particularly in the case of coronavirus, a person's health plays a major role in determining what the outcome will be. If the person is young and the person's healthy, the odds are overwhelming that the person will make it through without a problem, just like they do through the flu. If a person has what they call comorbidities, if the person is older, if the person is weaker, etc., then the odds of a person surviving becomes worse. So that's the question here. The question is, somebody, or at least somebody who's perhaps older, somebody who has diabetes, somebody who has a heart condition, somebody who's at greater risk, if they would, God forbid, catch coronavirus, is there a reason for us to say maybe better you shouldn't fast? Because if you end up in that situation, we want you to be as strong as possible so your odds of survival are best. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah by Hilchos Tisha B'Av, writes, Al HaDever V'Ha'ida Imasan in Klal B'Shas HaDever. So he says, so the Mishnah Berurah paskins that when it comes to the, what we'll call them the minor fasts, when it comes to Tzom Gedalia, when it comes to Asara B'Tevis, Shivas B'Tamas, when it comes to Tainus Esther, if there's a cholera epidemic going on, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, nobody fasts. All bets are off. Because we know if a person is weaker, that could lead, God forbid, to a person catching the disease. Tisha B'Av, however, as far as Tisha B'Av concerns, that I'm not saying, you have to look elsewhere. So at least as far as the minor fasts, we'll say, are concerned, we in fact are much more, according to the Mishnah Berurah, all bets are off, you don't have to fast. This, of course, leads to a very famous story. I'm sure many people are familiar with the story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in 1848. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was, of course, the founder of the Musar movement. Rav Salav Shem Yisrael Salanter, people are very well aware of somebody who is known to be a very machmer person, a person who is very stringent, a person who spent his life trying to get himself to be a better person, to make other people a better person. And in 1848, there was a cholera epidemic in Vilna. And there are stories as to what happened that year. The first source I give you is a Yiddish book originally, translated to Hebrew, David Frischman, who clearly was not alive at the time, as you can tell, I give you his years, wrote a famous story called Shlosha Sha'achlu. Who were the Shlosha Sha'achlu? So people are familiar with the seventh parak of Brachos, the seventh parak called Shlosha Sha'achlu. Three people eat together, that's referring to the case of a Zimun. As is oftentimes used in Yiddish literature, there's a twist. Here he's talking about Shlosha Sha'achlu, not that, but something very different. He said, Maisa b'Shlosha Sha'achlu. Once there was three people who ate. Lo b'echad ha'yamim ha'pshutim imei shabasos ta'ochu es ha'sha'achlu. Now we're talking about three people sat down for a Shabbos meal. Ki im b'yom ha'kipurim. These people ate on Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur shechol yos b'Shabbos. A Yom Kippur that fell out on Shabbos. Lo b'makom seisa b'ein roa b'ein yodei. It wasn't these people ate on Yom Kippur with nobody looking. Ki im le'ein kol Yisrael. These people got up in front of everybody. And they ate. Asher b'beis ha'knesses ha'gadol. They ate in the central synagogue. And now we're not talking about lepers here. These weren't, weaklings. This is talking about the rabbi of the city and the two judges with him, the two dayanim. The what happened in the story, according to this story, and we'll see other versions of it, is that the Rav, we'll find out as Rabbi Yisrael Salant, together with the two Dayanim, got up in front of everybody and said, listen, it's very dangerous to fast this year. And with that, they actually ate in public. They got up in shul and they say, do like we do. Now, this a Yiddish story isn't necessarily a primary source. Perhaps more impressive is the story, the Makor Baruch. I give you the Yid, Makor Baruch is also written much later, 1928. Makor Baruch. Are people familiar with the Sefer Makor Baruch? Ever hear of it? The Makor Baruch was written by the Torah Tamima. The Makor Baruch is perhaps best known for its English translation. The Makor Baruch was translated into a book called My Uncle the Netziv. The My Uncle the Netziv was published by Art Scroll. But it wasn't your typical Art Scroll, Art Scroll biography, but rather it was a slightly cleaned up version of the Makor Baruch. And in it was quite controversial. Makor Baruch writes very interesting things about the Netziv. He writes that the Netziv used to read the newspaper on Shabbos. He writes that the Netziv very much admired Emma Lazarus, who wrote the poem on the Statue of Liberty. So because of that, the Lakewood Cheder that sent out this book retracted it and sent out a letter to people saying, you know, we're sorry we sent this out. We shouldn't have. Please send it back. That, of course, made it a very valuable sefer. I have a copy of it. I think we have one in the Edos Library as well. The Makor Baruch, again, this was the Torah Tamima who wrote the Sefer. This isn't Stam Schlepper. He writes the story, and he writes it in a very interesting way. He wasn't there, so we have to take that into account. But as he writes as follows, Rabbi Yisrael Ol Alabima, V'ito Shnei Mori Harel Nodon Bevilna Rehichriz. So he writes the same way, that Rabbi Yisrael Salant got up, and together with him were the two Dayanim, and he announced, "B'shem Hashem u'mirushus Torasenu Kadosha," in the name of God, and with the permission of the Torah, "Asher of the Torah al mitzvoseh, b'mitzvah achas yisodus v'chay b'hem v'yivshvarosh yamos mehem," with the key commandment being that we should live by the mitzvahs and not die by them. "Anu matirim shelova esanes hayom," we hereby permit everybody not to fast on Yom Kippur. "Acher kach lokach kos yayin v'yakadei shalov," he then took a cup of wine and made kiddush on it. "V'yishtu mimenu," and he drank from the kiddush on Yom Kippur in the middle of the shul. "U'more hara omdim alav v'gam tamu minei mesika v'maisa ofer." And with that, him and the Dayan made a bunch of cookies also.
The language of Anu Matirim is very interesting. It's not as strong as I would have expected. I would have thought him to say Anu Osrin Lehisanos Hayom. If he's, it's mutter to not fast. Okay, you have an option.
Well, again, whatever he didn't say, according to this version of the story, he definitely made up for it with his actions.
Correct.
Now, as I said, we really cannot put a lot of faith into the story here, even though, let's say, the Torah Tamim is somebody who's reliable, because he wasn't there. Right? This is being written in 1928. That's 80 years after it happened. But some people would like to point to this and say, well, you see how serious this is. Right, this when he wasn't talking to people who already had caught cholera. He wasn't talking to people that were having a difficult fast. From the get-go, he got up and he said, "That's it. No fasting this year. Watch me." Now, this is an odd story for a few reasons. One we had discussed already around a week ago. And we asked the question, if somebody has to eat on Yom Kippur, do you make Kiddush? Right? So Yossi, you pulled out your Sefer HaKiddush. And what did we say? There's no Kiddush on Yom Kippur.
There was no Kiddush there.
There was no Kiddush. Now, in defense, he made it. It's clear that 1848 was a Shabbos. So it could be he made the Kiddush for Shabbos. He didn't make the Kiddush. There's no Kiddush for Yom Kippur. But that's the story. So the question is this famous story, which has been written over. It's an amazing collection of versions of it. Does this somehow indicate that this is something we should be considering? Now, when discussing what actually happened there, perhaps more faith can be put into the next version of it. The Sefer Tnuas HaMusar, which is a biography of Rabbi Yisrael Salant, was written by his son. Now, his son was about 8-9 years old at the time, but he was there, I imagine. And his version of the story is somewhat different than the version of the story that the Makar Baruch has. Let's take a look at it. Number 8, Ba'osos Man B'pros Shnas Tuf Reish Tes U'Kfar Higiyu HaYomim Menorayim V'Amagefer Adayim B'Tokfa. It was already Yom Menorayim, and the epidemic was going strong, unfortunately. Hunger, weakness, being tired, exhaustion, this leads to greater spreading of the disease. Despite that, most rabbis did not want to allow the people to eat. With that, Rav Yisrael got up. He said, I'm not going to wait for the other rabbis. I'm going to move on my own. It's like Yitzhak said, he said that to fast at this point, it's not just it wasn't required, but it was prohibited. Not only that, but if the Jews were not particularly careful, what does this sound like? It'll be a tremendous chilul Hashem that the people will turn around and they'll say, aha, because the Jews don't care, because they're following their silly religion, that's going to lead to greater infections. Therefore, be'erev yom ha-kippurim pirsei modos b'chol batei kniso shebe'ir. Therefore, he hung up signs on Erev Yom Kippur in all the shuls. Lo lisanus b'yom ha-kodesh v'anor ha-zeh, rekatzer b'piyutim, l'alechus l'tayel b'chutzo sa'ir l'ruach hayom. He said in it, don't eat. Cut down on the davening. Go for a walk in the fresh air. U'lo'oshia ish Yisrael b'koach u'b'kesev eitzah. He said, therefore, and help out each other. So according to this version, he was concerned that people wouldn't take him seriously. So after Shachris, he made Kiddush and he ate cookies. So this would seem to support the idea. Other versions have signs, but they don't have him making Kiddush. Rebbe Yashiv, in his Ha'aras and Maseches Shavuos, has a different version of the story. According to Rebbe Yashiv in number 9, he also says that there was a cholera epidemic, and he also says that Rabbi Yisrael Salant was very concerned about it. But according to his version, we take a look at a type. He said, "B'yemei ha'gom Rabbi Yisrael Salant ha'isem ha'geifa." U'pasak goy shoshan z'chayom lecho b'yom kippur. He agrees. He paskin, you have to. Everyone seems to agree on that point. But what did he do? V'hu moti sheyesh hechi tim sheshlo yehe v'chati sheyafilo isa d'rabbanan. So what did he tell people to do? According to this version, he didn't make Kiddush himself. What he told people to do is eat a chatzi shir. What does that mean? What a person should do is they should eat less than a kazayis of food with a break in between so that it won't be mitzdarev. And he goes on to discuss whether that was a good idea or not. This is, of course, very different. Right? So he says, bottom line, he says, I don't really know what happened there. Because no one really understands what's happened there. It remains a very big question. But because of that, right, because he says that even according to his version of the story, Rabbi Yisrael Salant did not allow people to eat, and he himself did not make Kiddush, but right, he told people, eat a little bit at a time so you won't be violating the fast. Sure, that was his idea. This idea that a person is allowed to violate a fast in order to protect you for something which could potentially happen down the road is a jump, right? We agree if someone's life is in danger, they can break the fast. And even if we think there's a possibility that this will lead to danger, that's one thing. But this is different. We are concerned that, because we're not concerned that the lack of eating, right? If we're concerned that a person is going to go into diabetic shock. Okay, that's a concern that we'll consider allowing a person to eat for. We get that, right? If a person's blood pressure gets very low. Okay, but this is different. This is if the person doesn't, and there's an outside thing that happens later on that will combine to lead to a problem. The Chasam Sofer also dealt with the same epidemic. And he actually came out on the same side as Rabbi Yisrael Salant. He says, Al-Nir Devrat Refu'i Mumche Ha'omrim Ha'yotze Mi'Pesach Beisal Liba Re'ekana B'yom Ha'atanis Damo B'Nafsho. So this is talking about a person who's supposed to be quarantined. They said no one should be leaving their houses. It sounds a lot like Eretz Yisrael this year. Somebody walks outside, they're putting themselves in danger. But being in risk of magefes cholera, rachman letzon, mistabik ma'ye biyom tzom rabba. So yes, what are we supposed to do? So the Chasam Sofer says, in my mind, it's clear. And in fact, the Chasam Sofer goes further. He says, let me give you an example. He said, let's say there's a nursing mother. And if the nursing mother doesn't eat, she'll be fine. However, the fact that she hasn't eaten will in fact affect her milk flow. Perhaps she'll stop lactating, and that will affect the child. So can the nursing mother eat on Yom Kippur for the sake of the child? So he says, we paskin, absolutely yes. He said, well, who pashit? Adam bari, ulam, mechal Shabbos of Osefek Choli, alpi Yeshua bari. Right? So he said, so just like I can drive a cart to save you on Shabbos, the mother can eat to save the baby. That goes without saying. Even though there's no direct cause and effect, right? There's an extra step in between. It says, therefore, Amnam Rafi Roshan Ashao Sharofim Izio Mitzes Mi Pesach Beso Batinus Mashrik Shem Segurim Babesim Ain Tais Maziklam. So he says, if you can stay at home, skip shul, and you'll be healthy, so do that and fast. However, he says, if even staying at home will lead to still potential danger for fasting, the Chasam Sofer says, so you don't fast either. The Chasam Sofer is very serious about it. Rav Zevin, in his Mo'adim B'Halacha, in number 11, goes through the story as well. Rav Zevin is just a beautiful writer. He's always a machaya to read. And he writes as follows. He says, Ha'achronim donu alzman magefes cholera, rachman alitzan, sharofim omrim sha'atainis tazak l'vriyim, imutalecho, ha'chasim sofer, hitir al avi musurim, hitir al avi amusurayim, head of the Muslim movement, how you pronounce it, that's the Rabbi Yisrael Misalant, Vesapim shehu ba'atzma ol alabima v'dorash akol lo yisana v'yish mosif shehu ba'atzma b'shvil v'odeid esar kahal tam b'fneim be'etzam ayom. So he said that the Chasam Sofer said was mutter, and some people say, again, no one really knows what happens. There's definitely a PhD out there for somebody. But people come out there and they say that because of this, that in fact they got up and he ate, that the Yisrael son actually ate in public. However, not all the Rabbanim were happy with Yisrael Salant. And in fact, he says, look, Ulam, Beshut, Rishis, Bikurim, Rebbe Betzalel HaKohen, Rebbe Mivilna, Rebbe Betzalel Vilna, who was also, you know, a great Rav at the time. Kosev Heimalin Uladi Adavar HaGadol HaZeh Adaros, Olam. He said, let me write, just put this in print, so further generations will know this. Asher Betrosa Havei Chazaka Me'arofim Rivavos Hanoshim, His anu kulam b'tzom kippur d'shnas tuf kuf tzadi zayin tuf reish tes v'tuf reish chav zayin. In the worst of the years, in 1839 and in 1838 and in 1848 and in 1866, there were thousands of men, women, and women who fasted. U'b'chol medino senu oz v'lo korem korah chalila. He said, everybody should know that many people did not follow Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Many people fasted, and no harm befell them. So in terms of the question of whether to suspend a fast on Yom Kippur in a case like this, so there are a few issues. One issue is that Rabbi Yisrael Salant himself, it's a question, what did he do? Was he matir a period, or was he just matir chatzi shir? The Chasam Sofer agrees, but he also pushes chatzi shir. There are people who disagreed with him as well. Rabbi Kiva Eger, if anyone's interested, did tremendous work during the cholera epidemic, so much so that he was honored at the end of his life, and even posthumously by King William Frederick at the time, who was just amazed at the work that Rabbi Kiva Eger did to keep the people safe. And the question was asked for him, and he has several letters he wrote during this time, whether a person can eat on Yom Kippur. And he says, unlike perhaps Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippurim D'Oraisa, Alkein Agona Be'ebezin V'Abezin Tzedek, Einam Yechom Lohakir Be'ofen Kali B'inyan Tainios. You can't get up on Yom Kippur and say that's it, the fast is off. What if somebody starts feeling weak or develops diarrhea, one of the early signs of cholera, and they need to ask what to do? Every shul has to have two doctors that are available throughout Yom Kippur. Hagon Ebeizim Mazir and Zos Bazar Gedola, Shalishmer Besot Afa Bemikra HaKal B'Yosef Chas V'Sholem, Af Mazir Behester. If someone's not feeling well, you have to come forward. Elo Rishol Miyad LaRofe, it's Rabbi Kiva Eger, saying, any Shiloh, you're not feeling well, I want you to go right to the doctors and talk. You're fasting, but that doesn't mean we're not being careful. For over Alzare Machai Benafsho, and if you're not feeling well and you don't go to the doctor, something happens to you, that's suicide. And not only that, you might be a murderer because you're unsure with that. How many other people are you affecting? Don't get up and say, I'm asymptomatic. Nothing. I'm fine. I can still go to shul. I can go to school. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you do that, you're a murderer. And ultimately, that's what you're going to be judged for. It's Yom Kippur. You don't want to be killing people on Yom Kippur. So the bottom line is that Rabbi Kiva Eger did not accept the psak of the Rabbi Yisrael Salant. But he said, let's be serious here. That doesn't mean I'm not taking this with absolute seriousness. And in fact, Rabbi Kiva Eger made it very, very clear that he set it up in a way that should be as removes as much danger as possible. And says, if anybody violates the rules, forget it. Nowadays, how do we paskin? What are we going to do? So Rav Asher Weiss wrote a tshuva about this. And he writes that while this is all an interesting discussion, COVID is not cholera. The fact that a person fasts one day doesn't really, if a person already has COVID, that's one thing. But if a person with chas v'shalom catch COVID, and it was after a day that they fasted, it would not make a major medical difference. So he says that that's the reason why he says, the difference between that disease and this disease, shamachas hakalura pogas b'chi ha'iko v'goremes v'shil shim koshim v'goremes yavshus v'choset tzunah. Cholera leads to a person having diarrhea. Diarrhea can lead a person to be very low on fluids. Right? So he said, so that is a real, that leads to dehydration. That's very dangerous. If the concern is dehydration, well, then you want to stay hydrated. He says, the problem with COVID isn't dehydration. The danger would not be that much greater. So therefore, he said, there's really not much to talk about. He said, therefore, mishum zeh, kol zeh, near the ein yisod l'chal hara hanal. There's no, v'af, bizman sh'rabim choli hashpas, kol sh'ro chol achay v'sanos kadin. The bottom line is, even if there is a spike and there's a major problem with it, maybe you don't go to shul, maybe you act in different ways, but to suspend the fast, that doesn't really make sense. And even to say to drink a little bit, that's not it. So the bottom line is, at the time of the cholera epidemic, there was a discussion whether the entire fast should be suspended or not. But Yisrael Salant, it definitely seems held yes. How far did he go? That remains a question. The Chasam Sofer seemed to support it. Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rabbi Tzal Vilna could definitely disagreed with it. That being said, however, that doesn't necessarily carry over to our days. The epidemic that they were suffering through and the epidemic that we're suffering through are different medically. And therefore, there's really no reason that a fast should be affected by what's going on. I will, God willing, see you all on said fast day. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. And God willing, we should all be healthy. Very important. Everyone should take care of themselves and follow the rules. Shabbos.
Okay, Yeshkoya.
Go to you.